Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for another blessed day that you have allowed us to see. Father, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit. And Father, we pray that you will let your Spirit release the revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we need as we go into the Word of God today. And Lord God, that we may come to understand and know the perfect plan and will of God. Father, we acknowledge you as almighty, all-wise, Lord God, and no one is greater. No one possesses a power that is greater than yours, and no one can do what you have done and do. So, dear Father, we humble ourselves this day as we once again take this journey into the Word of God together, being assembled together in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you once again on this Tuesday night. And to some of you in other parts of the world, it's Wednesday morning or Wednesday evening. But no matter what part of the day it is, Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I want to welcome you to the broadcast, no matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. Thank God for you all listening. Another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we will give unto you. Praise be to God. Tonight, I'm going to go into one of the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent through the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, mentioned in Matthew 17 and in Malachi 4. And I thank God for this word that he have me to deliver to those of you that are listening today. For those of you that are first-time listeners, Jesus has been sending the Elijah, as he promised in Matthew 17 and in Malachi 4, the messenger of the Lord, as he spoken in Malachi 3, that prophet that he's spoken of in Acts 3, Deuteronomy 18 and 18, as far with messages from the Lord this day, been bringing it to mankind, the word of the Lord. And today that will be of the bride of the Lord. He has thus far brought 120 messages, the first 30 to a brother named Brother Otto Fetting from 1927 to 1933, and then thus far 90 to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves from 1937 to 1994, and he must continue to the Lord, under the instruction of the Lord, until the work of the Lord is finished after the pattern that Christ laid it down. I want to read from one of the messages that he sent, which is called the 90th message. I want to take a few verses out of here, as long as Father's Spirit wants me to go. Amen. We will go into these. The Lord sent the Elijah July the 10th, 1970 with this message at 2:15 a.m. to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves, who passed in 1994. Once again, I had the opportunity to meet Brother Draves and know him for about at least 4 years, because I first met him in 1990, and thus far, I'm not saying no other men are humble, But thus far, he's been the humblest man I ever met in my life. I've met some humble men, don't get me wrong, but this brother, I have to give it to him. He was very humble, especially having to receive messages from an angel of the Lord who comes directly from the presence of God. And so the Lord sent his angel once again with this 90th message, July the 10th, 1970, at 2:15 a.m. And what I notice about many of these messages is that, you know, the Lord sends his angel 2 and 3 in the morning. That's why whenever you read what Brother Draves or Brother Fanning write, or I don't know if you want to call it a foreword, or you know, when they write down the time the angel came and what happened, many times you see it's in a 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 1 o'clock or something like that in the morning. But we must understand that God is not on our timetable. The angels of the Lord don't come at our, quote, beck and call. They come at the appointed time of the Lord. So rest assured that if you are visited by an angel of the Lord, he came at the time that God told him to go. You don't have to worry about praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, I had a visit by one of your angels. You don't have to worry about the Lord says, say what? I didn't know that. Or when was this? You know, he is well aware. In this 90th message, the first verse, once again, there are approximately 26 verses in this 90th message. And I'm not saying that we will get to all of them tonight. I'm just going to go as far as the Spirit wants me to go. Amen. And so therefore, the first verse says, arise and write the words I will give you. Do with these as you have done with the others. Publish them in the book, the word of the Lord, and send to the ends of the earth. Now the Lord sent the angel, and the angel Elijah tell Brother Dre's, he said, arise and write the words I will give you. That's why Brother Dre's writing in the small writing before tells you what time the angel came, how he was awakened. And so the angel was telling him to arise and write these words down. He said, write these words I'm giving you, you know, from the Lord, and publish them in a book called the Word of the Lord. Amen. And this is the book that we have today. That's why it's titled the Word of the Lord, because the Lord instructed the angel to tell us this is what we want to call it, the Word of the Lord. He said, and send into the earth. The Lord wants all to have this word. He wants every nation to have this word, because see, this word, which is extra oil, will bring full unity among those who are believers of Christ Jesus. Amen. Full unity. It is the extra oil. It is the extra oil that the wise, when you read the parable of the 10 virgins, took. Okay. And they was ready. Jesus came for his bride. They was ready. Okay. Because they took the extra oil. Okay. This word of the Lord, that it's going to cause all Christendom to flow together. See, right now, all Christendom is not flowing together. And anybody said that it is, you are deceived. Because God knows, and many that has been getting along with the Lord and hearing from the Lord knows also that Christianity right now, not right now, it's not going to remain like that. I want to get word of encouragement to those of you who have seen the separating division among Christianity. God wants you to know it's not going to remain like this. So this is why he's been sending the Elijah. And one of the reasons is to restore all things. And one of the things that has to be restored is unity among the believers. Okay. Jesus, when he set up the church, he didn't set up a separate dissenting church. He set up a church that is supposed to be unified in the gospel. Believers coming together as one, flowing together as one, not separated by a this and a that, saying I believe this and we don't believe that. My church believe this way, your church believe that. No, it's not none of that. Christ didn't set it up. And there's no way that you can find it in the scriptures in the Bible that says so. Find the scripture that Christ set up unity, okay? He didn't set up separation. Amen. Now, the next verse, he says, arrange so you may do more in the work as the way opens. Now, let me stop there for a minute. Now, he wasn't just talking to Brother Dre's on this. He's talking to all believers. See, he said, arrange so you may do more work as the way opens. See, some of you out there have rolled on excuses. You know you're supposed to be doing the work for the Lord. But all you've been talking about is, well, I just need the Lord to work this thing out so I can do a work for him. Listen, God helps us. It is not to put everything on him. There's a role you have to play. And you have to do things to make yourself available in helping out in this process. But some of us today have rolled on the excuse of trying to put it all on God. You still getting into things that you don't really need to get into. You're doing other stuff that's taking up time that you don't need to do. But yet, in the same breath, you are saying that I'm waiting on the Lord to straighten things out. Well, guess what? God is waiting on you to do your part. And he said, arrange so you may do more in his work. Some of you had probably went on missionary work one day and you think that's enough. And now you all into other things. God said, arrange so you may do more in this work. Some of you are satisfied in not doing nothing. And that's very dangerous. Many times I have to say, how is it that you're not convicted? Hallelujah. I remember that back here a few years ago. And I thank God for his spirit and conviction. Because I was at that one point too. And it got to a point I just went to thinking. And I said, wait a minute. I'm sitting around doing nothing. I know I'm supposed to be doing the work for the Lord. I need to do something. And I became convicted. I've been letting time lapse by, just lapse on by without doing anything for the Lord. And I had to repent to the Lord. Amen. I said, Lord, forgive me. I know I've been doing the work for you. And some of you listening to this message today, you need to repent for just sitting around. You need to repent. You need to arise up and be doing the work of the Lord. So God said, arrange so you may do more in this work as the way open. God said, the way is going to open. But you got to do your part to get prepared or set some things in order for you to go out and do the work. You understand what I'm saying? See, sometimes we're getting wrapped up in stuff that God did not tell us to get in. We're doing it. Why? Because our flesh wants to do it. Okay? Amen. God said arrange. So that means in your arranging, there's going to have to be a priority set on some things, and there are going to be some things you're going to have to turn loose. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to ask my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, shalom, brother.
Amen. God bless. God, for another blessed day. I am coming, word of the Lord, from the 90th message tonight. We are on this part here, amen, where the Lord said, arrange so you may do more in this work as the way opens. And
yes.
I was talking to the people that many of us have rolled on the wings of excuses. We have said mm-hmm. that we're waiting on the Lord to do this and do that. And we're putting everything on God, and it's not to put everything on God. We have a role to play. Amen. And mm-hmm. he told us arrange. That means there's a part you have to do. There's some things you got yes. to set in order. There's some prioritizing you got to do. And then there's going to be mm-hmm. some things to cut loose. and let it go.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Because he said, ask the way opens. He didn't say if the way might open. He said, ask the way open. So he said, the way is going to open. And for some of us, the way have opened, but we missed it. Because we did not arrange, like he said, that we may do more in this work. We have gotten into things that we have got no business getting into. We have gotten to things that the word of the Lord told us not to. And now we have become so occupied in those things that we have failed in this part of the word when he said arrange. And as I said before, many of us, we need to repent for just sitting around and not doing anything. And we're doing the Adam thing. The Adam thing we're doing is we're blaming God. You know, when Adam fell, then the Lord went to talking to Adam. He said, the woman you gave me. He went to blaming God. In other words, God, if you wouldn't have gave me this woman, I wouldn't have failed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So we're playing the blame game. So we said, I'm just waiting on the Lord to just open the way. Here you are.
Yeah. Wow.
You waiting on him all the way to the casino. You waiting on him all the way to the jackpot place. And you're talking about you waiting on him. Well, God told us to arrange. Amen.
Okay.
That's what he told us to. He told us to arrange. We missed that part. Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay.
And you know what? Many of us missed it on purpose, brother. Let's be honest about it. Many of us missed it on purpose. Yes, sir. We want to play the blame game again. We're going to blame it all on God. God, if you would have let me get that 7 at the jackpot casino, I wouldn't have been caught up with all these chips I got in my hand. Amen. If you wouldn't have let me hit the jackpot.
Oh, my goodness.
We playing the blame game on God on everything, brother. But he said, arrange.
Wow.
So you may do more in this work. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I see your point. We have much to repent. Much to repent of. I think we could start confessing and repenting and get some breakthrough from not arranging our lives so that he could do much to promote the kingdom of God. And I think I see that most of us, I would say probably all of us are guilty to some extent. And so all of us need to humble ourselves to a greater extent. I think it will do a cleansing and a humbling and saying, yes, Lord, I have put other things and I arrange, make sure I got to the picnic. I got arranged. I went to the banquet. I arranged. I got to the golf course. Arranged sure I got to the grocery. I arranged that I got this. But seemingly, many times when it comes to the work and the progress of the Lord, we miss the arrangement, brother.
we miss the arrangement. We're going to the chicken eating. We're going to be at the chicken eating and the barbecue. But when it came to arranging for the Lord, yeah, we're going to the chicken eating now. What? We're going there. If the church throw a chicken eating, you can make sure. You're going to rest assured. It's going to be some people there. It's going to be some people there. Now, prayer and getting together, stuff like that, you got a problem. Got a problem.
You're going to have a problem? Got a problem?
You're going to have a problem. You got a problem.
Okay.
You call that together.
My goodness.
Amen. Glory. Glory to God.
Yeah.
He said that the Lord will direct and it will be well with you and others that listen to follow. So he said that as we arrange that we may do more in this work, he said the Lord will direct. See, God said not only is his direction based on our faith, but it's based on our faith doing something. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. The Lord let us know that his direction for us is not only based on our faith, it's based on our faith in action. So when he says arrange, because, you know, you hear people say, I want to be led by the Lord. I just want God to direct me. My question is, what is you doing? Well, I'm waiting on the
All
Lord.
Right.
Well, you waiting on the Lord. You think waiting means don't do nothing. That ain't what the word is talking about with the wait. Waiting means you continue in doing the things of God till you hear the direction of God. That's what waiting is about. Waiting is not you sitting around filling your thumbs, sitting back and watching the wrong kind of stuff on TV, talking about, I'm waiting on the Lord, the God to direct me. That ain't waiting.
Oh, that ain't waiting.
That's not waiting.
They ain't
the
waiting
that the
Lord.
That ain't waiting. That's one of the old-time excuses of many people, brother. They say, I'm waiting on the Lord. What are you doing? Waiting on the Lord. They don't study. They don't pray. They don't do nothing else, and they say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Now, what you're doing is you're going backwards.
Man.
That's what you're doing.
Wait a minute. Let me see. Let me get this straight now. They're waiting on the Lord to do what he've already said and spoken and commanded us to do.
Right.
So do you notice how people don't wait on the Lord's direction to go get the grocery store or go to the cleaners when they see a need? You notice they don't have to get see the need that their clothes need to be clean, and they go and do it or wash. They don't have to get direct direction to get the car fixed, or they see the car need to fix. But they see these needs, and they don't have to get a thunderbolt from heaven to if you see somebody sick, well, you either take them to the hospital or meet their need. So we see the need, and the Lord has shown us the need, and he said, go administer to the need, but we have nothing to do because we're waiting on the Lord, right? We're waiting on
We're waiting on the Lord. We're not going to ask the Lord, can we fix the hamburger sandwich you needed? We're not asking that. We're not going to ask God.
Oh, no.
Or shall we buy the cheap meat at the supermarket, or shall we get the high one? We're not going to ask him that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
We're going
to go with our stomachs on that. But the other stuff, we're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord. Amen. We're waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah.
We're waiting. Yes. I see. So.
Now.
The
word of the Lord says.
It
said, I come. He said, this is what the angel said. He said, I come to you with a message from the presence of the Lord.
From the presence of the Lord.
From the presence of the Lord. Not so much per se the presence of the angels. Now let's get this straight.
Mm-mm.
In other words, this is why I say this. He wasn't the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist mentioned in Matthew 17 in Malachi 4, wasn't up there just in a circle with the angels talking and saying, hey, I think I'd go down there and visit Brother Dre's and just take him a message. Just bring him, just tell him, guys, you said hello. You know, and I think I'll just go down there and tell him that. No, he said, I come from the presence of the Lord.
Wow. Coming from the very throne, where Jesus is sitting. Hallelujah. Wow.
Of the Lord. Very presence. Which, you know, brother, what he's telling us too is that, hey, you can go back and ask the commander-in-chief now, did he send me? Glory. That's what he's telling you. See, I'm coming back from the presence of the Lord. Now you can go back and ask the commander-in-chief, did he send me? Hallelujah.
So, wow. So all of these people that hear these words, and this word comes from the throne in the presence of the Most High God, you can fall on your knees and check with the commander-in-chief above whether they're coming from the throne, right?
Amen. Amen. This way, angel keeps you from worshiping him. Oh, I think I'll say that again. This is where the angel keeps you from worshiping him, because you never find in the message that he never points you back to Jesus. You don't find nowhere where he didn't tell you not to seek the Lord, not to ask the Lord. There's nowhere where he said, just believe me because I said. You don't find that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't find that. And what he does, he's keeping you from worshiping him. See, people have messed up by worshiping the angels.
Right.
In fact, John the Revelator was about to make the same mistake until the angel stopped and said, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Hallelujah.
So.
Thank you, Jesus.
The true witness of God is that anything that comes from the living God, and if it comes from him, it will glorify and it would magnify him alone and not magnify themselves. So the messenger doesn't magnify him. He says, I am sent. I am a servant. I come from his presence, from his throne. And don't worship me, worship God. I'm a servant. Don't worship me. He always said, I'm sent. I'm a servant. Worship the living God. Worship God. And so that's really true. Because when John was on the Isle of Patmos, John beloved, when the angels, he saw so many angels and the power and the glory that they carried, he was overwhelmed. He just fell down to worship the angel. And the angel said, oh, no, don't do that. Now, see, the devil and the demons would never do that. That's what they want. So here we find out that demons and devils won't worship. But see, the angels of God and won't ever accept worship. See, that's the difference.
Right. Yes, most definitely, brother, you're right. That's the way, and people, I hope that y'all hear this, that's the way you can tell, one of the ways you could tell manifestation is from God or not. If an angel come to you and let you get down there and worship him, my advice to you is get away from him. That's my advice to you. And look long enough, he's going to change, okay? Because the Bible says Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. So he can't keep that counterfeit masquerade up for long because that's not his true nature, okay? So he can't keep that going. Amen? So don't worry about it. Keep looking long enough. You will see the truth come out, okay? So anything that is causing you to worship it instead of God, get away from it. Anybody that go for anybody, okay, anybody you come across, thus says the Lord, and they let you fall down worship, just like the Pope John Paul, fall down, kissing his rings, kissing his finger, stuff like that. And these are some even notable professing Christians.
Oh, yes.
Was falling down and kissing the ring. And you be like, hey, now, wait a minute, y'all. Either y'all missed out on revelation or something is wrong, okay?
Wait a minute now. Hold on.
Amen.
So worship is only due to the Lamb of God. So true worship is only due to him. So no spirit, no angel, no messenger will take any glory, never take any glory unto themselves, because that's contrary to the nature of God and the nature which they come in, the spirit of God. So angels that come from God, the first thing you know, they'll point to Jesus.
Yeah.
And if they don't glorify Jesus, sent you to the Christ, immediately you know. So when the messenger comes, he points back to the throne, to the glory. And he said, don't worship me. Don't worship me. But see, here's the thing, brother, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, the first thing when Satan was tempting Jesus, all he wanted, what did he want? Fall down and worship me. the devil. See, the devil craves worship that belongs to the living God. So you can know demons and witches and warlocks, they are going to point not to Jesus Christ, not the Father of glory, but to them. And all false religion, it's just like you said, the Pope, he gets so much worship, they kiss his feet, they kiss his robe, they call him Your Holiness, and all this stuff, right?
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing. And it is the thing that we, you know, as Christians, and this thing is done in the open. Say nothing hid. I mean, they didn't hide it. They all on TV and CNN news and everybody taking coverage, showing you people that fall down and kissing the thing. And you're going like, okay, now, I know other believers see this. Okay, so why is it that y'all going over there doing the same thing? I said, that don't make no sense. I mean, why are you doing the same thing? And you see this on TV, okay? True worship is called by God. True worship is called by God. Now, the angel of the Lord says, he said, I come to you with a message from the presence of the Lord. Then he goes on to say, to the believing faithful, peace and joy. They delight in my coming. So the angel is specific. And who delights in the coming of the angel? Now, get this. It ain't all about the angel. Let's get that straight.
No.
The reason why the believing and faithful delight in his coming because they see the manifestation of what they've been believing God for. I'm going to say that again.
Wow. Wow.
I'm going to say that again because when he said the believing, not the had believe, that's past.
Mm-hmm.
The believing is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Present tense.
Mm-hmm.
See, some people go in the past tense. Well, I did believe. You did. Okay, so you're going to stop believing. Or I will be believing. No, you will. That's future. No, believing is right now, present. And so he said to the believing and faithful, peace and joy, they delight in my coming. So the angel tells you who's going to delight in the coming of the angel. The believing and faithful. Okay? Why they delight in
delight.
It? Because the word of the Lord, they took and what God said, they believed in it, and now see the manifestation of what they were believing God for. Hallelujah. That's why.
Surely, he brings his coming, the words that he brings from the Lord Jesus to the earth, brings peace and joy. Now, you notice that the devil, no matter, he can't bring you peace and joy. He can bring you some pleasure and sensuality temporary. He can give you some high and give you some exhilaration of the flesh for a few moments, or smoke or drink. But he can't give you real joy, and he can't give you peace. Now, you notice those two qualities belong only to God. God is a God of joy and peace, and he's the Prince of Peace. So he can't give you peace. So he said, and the messenger says, when he comes from the throne, check this out, the peace and joy to the faithful.
Right. Amen. Amen. Oh. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He said, they
yes.
are coming. And one thing about the faithful, what makes the faithful is that they are loyal. That throughout
loyal.
Not just the good times, but the hard times, they still hold to the word. See, that's why they
totally
delight.
Hold.
Glory, hallelujah. See, that's why they delight in the coming of the angel, because despite not just the good time, but the tough time, they still holding and being loyal to that word, and now they see the manifestation.
Yes. Wow.
Of what they was loyal to. Hallelujah. Glory,
thank you, Jesus.
Hey, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Have you ever got the word of God and you stood on the word of God, and even when all the adversity came at you, you still held on, and then when it finally manifested, you started jumping up praising God, and I know people were looking at you like, he got serious issues.
Oh.
We need to lock him up. But they didn't understand why you were praising God. Because you were praising God because why? Manifestation of what you believe him for has manifested.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I thank God. See,
right.
That's loyalty. That's
faithfulness. Yes.
Where you can hold on to the word even through the rough time, where you can still believe Jesus when it don't seem right, when you still hold it to that word, and God said, okay, now it's time for me to manifest this thing, because he's been holding on to it through the rain and the snow and all the wind that been blowing. He still holds to my word.
Yes.
I see my word still.
Yes.
Still holding on to it. Now I got to manifest. And now you're jumping up, and you're praising God, and you're about to do backflips and all. People looking at it and say, man, you know what? I do something wrong with him for a long time. I think we just need to put him away. But they don't understand. And this is why the angel says, they delight in my coming. Glory.
Mm. Oh. Oh, they delight. Wow.
He got specific. He told you who going to delight in it. Ain't no just no anybody now.
Yeah.
He said the believing and the faithful.
Wow.
The believing and
the
faithful.
And the faithful.
Believing in the faith.
Wow.
They're going to delight
thank
in the
coming
of the messenger. Why? Because they see the manifestation of the very word of God that they've been studying, reading, praying about, manifest, that they've been holding on through the time of testing. We thank God for that precious word. Amen? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Lord,
thank God.
Brother, this is
thank you,
good.
Jesus.
Let's go on to the
thank
next
you,
verse.
Lord.
Now, he says in the next verse, he said, press on. Greater trials await the nation, the people in the church. Now, let's stop there for a minute. Now, in order for God to tell you to press on, that means something be providing some resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that again. In order for God to say press on, something must be providing some resistance. Okay?
Wow.
Okay. For example, in exercising, when the guys work out on their chest, they do an exercise called the bench press. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the bench press, you're laying down on the bench and you got what this called is barbell with weights on it. And so you let it come down, but you need to push it up. And what you're doing, you push it. Your resistance is the weight. That's your resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the whole thing is to press it up in air. Okay. To push it up.
Yes.
Letting it fall on your chest. And God said, press on. Then he said,
press on.
A weight. Ooh, greater trials. Good Lord. Greater trials await.
Wow.
Okay. In other words, God said, don't get stuck in this one mode right that you in. He said, press on. He said, greater
press
trials
on.
Await. Now, he named three places. The nation, the people, and the church. Okay.
Wow.
The people, also, we can look at dealing with the homes. Greater trials await
greater
the
trials.
Nations, the people, and the church. Brother, that covered all three. That covered all that for me. I mean, in other words, he's telling you, ain't nobody going to be exempt. Okay, so no place is going to be exempt. Okay, you know, you either going to get tested in the church or in the home or in the nation. You know, you testing is coming. Either way you go.
The test.
Okay.
Wow. Press on.
Even if you try to move the moon. Because you know they be trying to set up stuff already so you can live on the other planet.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care where you go. you can go.
Yeah.
You still go face the testing. So he said, press on.
Press on.
Greater trial.
And he brought that message timely. And God always gives a word timely in time. And us, when we hear that word directly, it says, many trials are coming. Many tests are coming. Get ready. Prepare. He says, he names all three categories.
Yeah.
The home, and you notice how the enemy during that time, he attacked homes and marriages all over America and around the world.
Yeah.
And during that period of time, he was warning us that was coming upon the homes, the marriages, the families, the church. And the church went on extreme attack. And some of them failed because, you know why they faltered? Because they didn't heed the warning. We didn't heed the warning, did we? You know, we didn't heed the warning. You know, when you hear about a storm coming or an earthquake or a tremor coming, the first thing you do is prepare to do. Prepare, right? Because the warning has come. Right. The warning has come. So I'm going to prepare. But I think that when people maybe did not take it serious, this warning, I think we might have treated it too lightly.
Oh, yeah.
I think we didn't go deep and say, help me, Holy Ghost, to prepare. Help me, Holy Spirit, to get ready.
Yeah.
Now, when those trials hit the church, you see for the things that happen. During that time, the nation was going through a great crisis again, and the homes and marriages got an extreme attack, just like they are today.
Amen. You know what else, brother? I noticed in that verse he says he let us know, and I want to say this to the people. In all things, positive or negative, there are different levels or measurements. Now, some people say, well, what do you mean? He said, press on. He didn't say great trials. He said greater trials.
Mm-hmm.
Said it again.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say press on great trials. He said press on greater trials. Okay?
Yes.
Just like people receive blessing from the Lord and you want something greater, well, guess what? You got to overcome something greater. Your level of testing. If you came through something great, you something great from God, to get greater from God, you got to come through a greater testing. I'm going to say that again. Hallelujah. Because we need to remember that, brother. That we get is going to be on the same level as the last one you came out of. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
For you to advance, okay? You know, just like in the army, brother, when they train you, you go through certain tests, and then you go through greater tests or a great test, and then greater tests.
Right.
Take you further and further. Well, see, for you, because men of us, we want the positive side. Okay. We want the great and the greater. Just like that, Lord, just drop it in the hand. But we don't want to face the great and the greater challenges.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. Right. So the necessity of promotion of believers being promoted, moving forward, one of the great challenges the Lord permits to the believers is that the test, you know, when you go in the fiery furnace and it heat up seven times, and that is to test you and also refine you. Because when the gold comes out of the fire, you know, each time it's hotter, it is more refined. So the test, one of the primary is to refine us and purify us and get us ready for the next one, for the next victory. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
You know, the message that God sent through to Elijah is to bring all Christmas together. That's one of the ways we're coming together. And through the greater, through the greater trial.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways we come. See, once the heat at the end is turned up to as far as it needs to go, you're going to see the purity come forth. You're going to see the pure gold come up out of there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, you summon everybody claiming either to be a Christian or believe in God or something. Everybody that's claiming it is not a believer. And for some of us, it's hard to discern who is who. Well, here's the message of the Lord to you, okay?
Yeah.
Once the greater is finished with, you're going to see the pure before.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a problem discerning who is real and who ain't. Okay? You ain't going to have that problem once they come through the greater. And he said, press on. He said, greater trials await the nation, the people in the church. He said, now get this, let nothing destroy your work. Wow, nothing.
Let
nothing.
Nothing.
Let
destroy your faith and good works.
Nothing. Nothing. Let nothing, okay? Hallelujah. Destroy your faith and your good works. Hallelujah. Now, it's interesting, brother, on that. You know, one time, brother, I look up the word thing, because if you take the word nothing and you word it separated, you can get no thing. And so when I look up the word thing, it was interesting. I saw four or five definitions on it. One of the definitions of a word thing is a person. Like, for example, you poor thing. God says nothing or let no one destroy your faith. You know, some people, they had look up to other people, and when they find out that Pastor Joe being quite right, he run around and he fooling with everybody. Sister Jones, she's out being thrown down, and all of a sudden they just quit believing God. Yeah, have you ever noticed people out there that when they find out that Pastor Joe, I thought Pastor Joe was a straight pastor, and I see he was fooling with Sister Mary and Sister Corso, and all of a sudden you can't talk to them about Jesus no more. They don't want to. I don't want to hear nothing about no. I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. I said, now, wait a minute. Why are you mad at Jesus? because you didn't do that. Okay? But see, you get now you don't believe God anymore because you saw Pastor Joe fail. You don't believe God no more because you see Sister Jones got some bad shortcomings. Okay? But happened, you didn't let it do something to your faith. Okay?
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, brother, I said the word thing means act. Or deeds.
Yes.
And he said, don't let what you see even being done in the church. Oh, people got to hear this one right here.
Oh, yeah.
Let what you see being done in church, acts of evil, acts of deception, acts of hypocrisy, don't let it destroy your faith.
Right.
Glory.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Wow. Right. So you're saying that he's warning or exhorting us, let nothing or no one or no action by, first of all, the believers or friends or acquaintance or the weakness of other believers or the failures of other believers, don't let that stop you, hinder you, mm-hmm. from going forth. And you find that many believers, because a betrayal or a failure or a flaw or a disappointment, because they were putting too much trust in man instead of putting all their trust in Jesus, when they fail, see others fail, then they say, well, I might as well go back to, I mean, right. they can't make it that into it. I just might as well throw up my hands too, right? So he said, let nothing, let no one.
No one.
You know, Mother Crockett, yes.
Go ahead, brother.
You know, Mother Crockett, our sister in Chicago, one of her favorite songs she would break out with, will you let anything, anybody, turn you around, separate you from the love of God? I used to love her to hear her come in, and she was saying, will you let anybody turn you around? Will you let anyone turn you around? Turn you around from the love of God. So there are many people have been turned around, turned off, and failed because they're looking at a person and stuck in looking at the master whom they made a commitment to. So this yeah. happened to many people. He said, don't let nobody, don't let nobody fail. This called Judas was a traitor. That don't mean Peter had to be a traitor. You know, just because Judas was walking and he betrayed Christ, that didn't stop Christ from going to his mission.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we had to keep our eyes. Yes.
Amen. And you know, also, brother, the word thing means an event.
Yes.
An event. So just because yes. you see them having gay pride marching, you know, that day that they got for gay pride, don't let it destroy your faith, people.
Yeah.
Don't let it hit of a shotgun. Don't let it destroy your faith. Glory. I sense the Holy
yes.
Ghost on that one. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let it destroy your faith. You see it in this nation? They're holding certain events that you know is abomination
mm-hmm.
and that's sinful in the sight of God. And you know, some must look at it and say, oh, Lord, I thought you were going to stop it, Lord. You let it go. And all of a sudden, they don't see God no more. They just quit believing
yeah.
Jesus. Why you
yeah.
believing Jesus? Because I thought he was going to stop it. Listen, we're told to have faith in God. It's not going to stop everything from happening, but it will bring you through everything. I say that again.
Yes. Yes.
Because see, people, when you talk about faith, they think that by you having faith, they're just going to prevent everything. That's not going to, no. It's not
no.
going to stop everything from happening, but it will bring you through everything.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It'll bring you through it. Some things by your faith, it's going to stop.
Yeah.
And some things by your faith, that thing going to still keep going. But guess what? Your faith will bring you through it. It'll bring
yes.
you through it.
Yes. And God wants his glory. And every time you overcome and he shows the victory, it glorifies him and blesses other people and show them that it can be done. You know, Peter says the trying of your faith is more precious than fine gold. So there's a purpose. The trying of your faith is more precious than fine gold when it's in the fire to purify. And you know, it says in Revelation 12, he said, he that overcome it by, and they overcame him, and they overcame him, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. So it is important that the test comes. It is important for the glory of God and the making of the individual, and to prove your love and your dedication, and to prove that you're willing to lay down your life. And notice this, and they laid down their life, and in Revelation, they were willing to lay down their lives. So what are you not willing to lay down? And so these tests test you, see how much the Lord God means to you, how much your purpose in God means. It'll prove. Eventually, it's going to prove to everyone. So we have to help the weak ones to regain their strength when they fail and they fall. Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And now he goes on to say, he said, deliverance has come. Reach out. Whoa.
Reach out.
Not deliverance is coming. He didn't say deliverance is coming. He said it has
come. Has come.
It has come.
All
it
right.
Has come.
Has come.
You know what? It brought to mind of me on that too, brother. You know how no moment when, let's say, the person is hanging off the cliff and the other one that's on the cliff, and he said, give me your hand. I can pull you up. The other one that's holding on to something like a twig or something on the side, they won't turn loose. No, you can't hold me. Well, see, Jesus telling you to reach out. Reach out.
Reach out. Reach out. It's there for you.
See, when the one on top of the cliff is saying, give me your hand, I'll pull you up. No, you're going to drop me. That's what the other one said. You're going to drop me. So they hold on to that twig while they're on the side of the cliff. About to, and the other one said,
yeah.
I can pull you. No. See, you got to turn loose something in order to reach out and grab it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Heat up a
glory.
Shot. Glory. You get
yes.
cut that out of our shot. You got to turn loose
yes.
something. He
yes.
said, reach out. God said,
yes.
I can pull you out of whatever
yes.
you're in. I can pull you up from it. I can pull you
yeah.
from falling to your death. I can do that. But you
yeah.
got to reach out.
Yeah.
And in order for you to reach out. Turn loose the side of the cliff or that little twig you hold on to that you think that's
yeah.
going to keep you, but you still shaking and shivering
yeah.
because you know it's going to hold you much longer. You're going to fall. Turn it loose and grab my hand.
That means you got to turn loose your fears in order to reach out and catch and show your faith. But you got to turn your fears to loose. Your ifs are loose. Hallelujah. And open your hand to grab hold to the promise of God and say, he cannot lie. He will not fail. And if you don't, if you hold to your fears and your apprehensions, you can't open your hand to reach out to faith. So it will be your deliverance.
Amen.
Just like, thank you, Jesus. Now, look, I went to the funeral of Sister Sally about a week ago. And I was in a tight squeeze in the car, and my knees was ongoing there. It was locked into this little small place. So all of a sudden, both of those knees didn't want to operate. And so for a week, the pain in this knee kept saying, you can't bend, and you couldn't walk. And I came back for a whole week, and I had to actually, for a whole week, this pain – I had to begin to reach out to the God of my deliverance and release to that knee for a whole week. It would not seemingly want to hear, but I was consistent. See, in your faith, you have to be confess on your faith. You have to hold to it and consistent reach out and command the word of God concerning your deliverance. So a whole week, this pain of this knee was so excruciating, and I had to begin to speak to it every night and every day. It began to tell me, well, you can't bow down and pray. I bowed down and prayed. I said, I will bow down. This knee will submit. I will submit. And I had to actually for a whole week command. And it acted like the first 2 days it didn't want to hear. It just acted like, well, I'm not going to hear. I said, pain, listen to the word of the Lord. I command the pain. I say, you will hear and you will obey. And I reached out. I continue to reach out to the promise until that knee and that pain heard and obeyed the will of God. So I glorify God because you're going to have to reach out with all consistency and fervently and don't take no for an answer.
You know, amen. And you're right, brother. And brother, you know, after the broadcast, we have time. I wanted to share something with you after the broadcast. I'm going to call you because it's funny that you had brought that up. It was something that the Lord had given me. But just like you said, deliverance has come. The word of the Lord said, reach out. And like you said, brother, you have to turn your fingers. And we're too busy saying, no, I don't want to turn loose. Lord, you might drop me. you might can't hold me. I ate that
yes.
sandwich last night, and that sandwich I ate probably was another pound, and then I might be too heavy for you.
Yeah.
Okay? And you can't pull me up, so I can't turn it loose. Well, either we turn it loose, or we still go down anyhow. Okay? Because,
yeah.
see, that twig, which is that fear that you hold on to, that little rock on the side of the cliff that you're slipping right now because your feet is dangling, sooner or later, you can't stay holding on to that thing. You got to give.
Yes.
Okay? You got to give. You will get tired yourself trying to hold your body up to the thing. You get tired. So that can't, you can't do it. Now, he says, deliverance has come. Reach out. He said, the way is prepared. Not going to be prepared. He said, the way is prepared for greater. Oh, there go that word again.
Hallelujah.
They go that measure again.
I like that. Again.
Not great outpouring.
I like that.
Not great.
Yeah.
Greater.
But greater.
Greater outpouring.
More.
Of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Greater.
And
greater.
And many things would be revealed. But he got specific on this one, brother. He said, but only to the humble. Everybody was jumping up and hollering. Oh, he said, mighty thing will be revealed. And then I drop it on him, but only to the humble. Folks fell out on the floor. Ooh, oh, man. God got a way of dropping it.
He dropped
everybody, everybody went to jumping. Oh, he said, mighty thing will be revealed. He said, but only to the humble. Everybody just fell out. Folks just fell out on the floor. Oh, no. They know they're humble. But there goes that measurement again. That measurement word, greater. Greater. You know, brother, what's interesting about that, you know, when Jesus talks about the work of restoring in these last days, and what's interesting about that, what's going to be the greater. Remember in the Old Testament, when it was the law of restitution, and if somebody stole your sheep or your ox, your return was greater. You didn't get, if they stole your sheep or one of your lamb, You didn't bring. If you stole from them, you didn't bring one back. You had to bring like three or four back. That was
okay. Yes.
Because the return for what was taken from you, glory to God, had to be great. My God, the return that was that
had
the thing
be.
That was taken from you. Okay.
Yes.
Some things are taken. Some things are destroyed. Some things are lost. But God said in His work of restoring, the return has to be greater. Hallelujah.
Greater.
Hallelujah.
Greater. Devil.
Hallelujah.
You gotta, devil, that what you stole and robbed from me? Jesus said the return of it, my claiming my recovery is greater, gonna be greater. 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 You gotta bring greater.
He just messed up, brother. He messed up. When he took from you, he thought he was doing something great. Oh, I got him now.
Yeah.
I took that for him. And he just opened the door for the greater to come. He messed up. He opened the door for the greater.
He messed up.
Boy, you can see him kicking and crying and all that. But God said the greater outpouring of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
As Christians, we jumping around think we got it all because God used us to speak a word of knowledge the other day. But we fail to understand. There's going to be some greater outpouring of the Spirit. There's going to be some greater outpouring of the Spirit. That's going to be some great. He said mighty things going to be revealed.
Listen, did you hear that? How many people you thought that heard? How many people heard that when he spoke that? How many responded to that?
Many of us, it probably just went over our head, bro. I mean, because we just, you know. But not everybody. Not everybody.
Not everybody.
Okay? Because remember, he spoke this, everybody was jumping. But when he said to the people, some of them fell and hit the floor. Some fell out here and floor. But there was those that stood up and didn't hit the floor. Why? Because they was in the spirit of humility.
Thank you, Jesus.
And those the one that God can reveal these mighty things to. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He said, the way is prepared.
Greater thing. For a
the
greater.
The way is prepared for a greater
the way is,
outpouring of the Spirit.
But
Hallelujah.
He did say the way is prepared for a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but only.
Mm-hmm.
He did. That's a stipulation. That's a stipulation, brother. A qualification he put in there. But only.
But only. Everybody ain't gonna get more ice cream. Only a few. Only the hump. Everybody. Everybody gonna get.
Everybody gonna. And it,
everybody gonna.
I guess.
Get it.
Everybody is not gonna reach out either.
No, everybody not gonna reach out. Everybody not gonna reach out. So you know why? Because everybody ain't gonna want to. See, that's what gets some of the believers. See, you can't force nobody to get delivered. I'm going to say, you can't force nobody to get delivered. You can minister to them. could tell them how to go in the way of the Lord and talk to them about how to get deliverance. But guess what? You can't force nobody to get delivered. Guess what? You can't force nobody to turn loose of the fear. You can't force.
No.
And you're not called to do that.
Yes. And you can't force nobody to receive the greater outpouring.
Right.
Because there's a qualification to it. And so when God says the way is prepared, he's making an invitation to everyone to come and prepare to receive. But we know everyone is not going to receive.
No.
We know it's not going to humble themselves to prepare themselves to say yay for the greater outpouring of his spirit and mighty things. And the mighty things, we want the mighty things to happen, brother, but we don't want to make ready.
Yeah. And that's, you know what? That's true. You're right. We want God, Jesus, to jump. Just dump it off, Lord. We want to be walking to the car. Just drop it all on us.
Okay? Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you don't prepare,
thank you, Jesus,
then you won't appreciate what you get.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't prepare. Mm-hmm. If you prepare, you won't appreciate what you get. Hallelujah. There will be a time of preparing for a test. Hallelujah. Prepare for a test, and then you go to school, you do the test, and when you grade the paper, you come back and get 100. Whoop! Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't prepare to get from the Lord, you won't appreciate it when you get it. This is one of the reasons why he tells us to prepare. Because you're getting your heart into a place that what you receive it, once it manifests, you're going to appreciate it. You're going to appreciate
it. Wow. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
And if we humble ourselves continually before the Lord and submit, it intrigues me that when he spoke that, and he was speaking to his people and letting them know the door has already been opened. I speak this word to you. The way is open that the greater outpouring of the Spirit and mighty things. But it seemed that we missed it. We missed it, opportunity.
Yeah.
I think many times we miss opportunities when the Lord speaks and we don't take the time to prepare that it may be ours, because we let other people get in our way. This is where you let people get in your way of receiving the greater blessing. Because he said the greater outpouring. Listen, can you imagine on the day of Pentecost, and he said, me in the upper room, and other people said, well, I don't need that. I don't have to do that. And so they missed it. So I don't want to miss anything that God is. I don't want to miss anything. I miss already. I let the devil rob and steal a lot of stuff that he got to repay and bring back double fold.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for it. I'm going to take one more verse here. It says, the Lord will water the seed you have sown. Many more shall yet come. Much more shall yet come to pass of miracles and healings and a better way of in the lives of men. Now, that first thing, that's a word of encouragement. He said, the Lord will water the seed you have sown. Some of you that are listening, you went out and you have been preaching the word in different places, and it just looked like people just ain't accepted nothing you said. They didn't look at you like you crazy. Some of you have been teaching the word in different places. You have been going out, being obedient to the word. God said he's going to water the seed you have sown. God is going to water the seed on Blog Talk Radio that we know, the seed that we have sown. He's going to water that seed. It's going to break forth in
anyway. Yeah.
He almost shot the Holy Ghost.
Thank
watch.
You.
All day I say to y'all, watch. This ain't no braggadocious statement on us. I'm telling you, God is the honor of his word. And so therefore, if you go and sow seed, like he said, that ain't always money, people. But if you go sow seed, like he said, you go out, you preach that word, you teach that word. Even if everybody don't say, hey, welcome with open arms, you go out there and you preach and teach that word. God said, I'm going to water See, because, see, ain't no need of you just breaking up the ground and throwing seeds in it if there's no water on the seed. You understand what I'm saying? You want a crop. You got to have some water, okay? And God knows that.
Yes.
He's going to water that seed, and it's going to bring forth the increase.
If we continue in faith and sow the seed and become sowers of the word and the things of God and wait patiently for him to give the increase, for it. If we are diligent to doing this faithfully, like he told Brother Dre's going on, who said, well, your work is behind you and before you. You won't be here to see, but I'm going to water the seed. When he told Fedens, I'm watering the seed, and he watering our seed. But we got to wait till the harvest. God has his own time. We keep watering and sowing the seed. He's going to give the increase. I was witnessing to a young lady on my job from when I was working, and I hadn't seen her in a long while. And I happened one night, I was passing by. I said, I think I'll stop by this church. It was a big church. I said, I don't think I have visited this church, because at that time I was visiting churches all over and sowing seeds. So I stopped in one night. I was passing by. I said, I've been in this church. So I hadn't been to this church. I think it was a Church of God, I think. And as I went in the church and sat down, and I was listening to the minister, and a young lady got up and testified. And she said, she turned around, she saw me. He said, he's the reason I'm back with God. And I hadn't seen the young lady. She said, because of him, I'm back with God. So we never know in God's time and season. Just keep sowing the seed faithfully.
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen. He said, many more shall yet come.
Yeah.
He said, much more shall yet come to pass. Of miracles, of healings, and a better way in the lives of many. So he said, you'd have seen some miracles and some healing. He said, but much more.
Much more. Hallelujah.
Much more.
Much more.
Hallelujah.
Much more.
He let you know that ain't the end.
Much
of.
More.
See, God don't want our testimony just to be of the things, quote, of the past, per se. For you to just say, yeah, I remember back in the days God would heal it. No, he don't. He don't want you to just talk in that kind of talk. Because when you just talk in that kind of talk, you're making it like he don't do it anymore. Oh, we got some people out there that teach that. There's some people that teach that. Yeah, God used to do it back in the days of apostles. He don't do it today. Oh, really? So he didn't change, huh? Wow, he ain't the same God? Oh, okay. He didn't got weaker today or what? What happened? You know, so God said much more.
Much more.
Miracles. Healings.
And healing. And a better way.
A better way.
In the lives. A better way.
You got people today looking for a better way, brother. They looking for a better way.
I think people tonight is looking for that better way that God promised when he spoke by the messenger, and he said, not only to the church, but to all that will believe. And I think the reason we haven't received it in many cases, because we haven't acted on it. Hallelujah. We haven't really acted on these things. We have heard them, but have not really let that seed water and get in our hearts where we begin to act on it and begin to move forward to what God has promised us for his children, healing, miracles, deliverance, and a better way. That's what he wants for us. That's what he wants for every one of his children. Yes, he does.
Hallelujah.
A better way. Stop acting on him. When he spoke those things, take it personal, like he was actually talking to me, and Jesus was sitting in the room talking to me face to face, and I mouth to mouth, and he said, and the messenger brought a word and sold it. And in writing for us to receive that word and act on that promise and start acting on it, not getting, he'll do it when he got ready and this and that. No, act on it like he said it and he meant it. Act on it if you believed it. Start acting on that word. Make it alive.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Brother, I want to give you a final word and perhaps you will lead us into prayer, but give us a word as we come to the end of the broadcast. Praise be to God.
yes, I believe all of the promises of God are yay, yay. Tonight, the night, this very night, not by chance or accident, we happen to be sharing the testimony of the gospel of our Lord Jesus and the restoration of all things by the coming of the angel Elijah and the soon coming of our King. Tonight, have you hearing? We just find a word that the messenger angel Lord that typifies what the Bible says. Miracles and healings and deliverance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a better way is for his children and for his people. So today, if you want to partake of the promise of the living God, Jesus Christ is Lord. First, partake of the bread of life. That means let him become your life. So everyone that wants to receive him as the bread of life and redeemer said, tonight is my night. I have heard the promise. You want a better way, a new life, a new transformed life. You want me partakers of your life, Jesus. You went to the cross of Calvary and rose again and shed your blood. I believe with all of my heart. Be my bread of life. Be my transformer. Be my savior. I invite you to be my salvation. I put my trust in you that the blood of Jesus washed away all my sins. I trust you to be my Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, be my bread of life. Be my redeemer tonight and for my family and for my loved ones in Jesus' name. Now, if you've done that, you made the first step. Hallelujah unto Christ. You got another step to be baptized in his name. Go down and be immersed. Get that second step done and sanctify yourself. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he'll direct your path. And he'll direct your life. And he'll direct you to your assignment and to your portion. And all you got to do is submit totally to him and say, start reading your Bible, start reading the gospel, and say, Lord, direct my way.
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for the word today. Brother, you know, it's, as Brother Terrell would say, it was good. So we thank God for that. Amen. For this word and all those you listening, Lord, say the same. Tune in tomorrow, right? As we continue with more of the word of the Lord that God has commissioned us to give unto you. Look for the advertisement. The Lord say the same at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We thank God for all you've been listening. You know what? We know God blessed tonight. There's no doubt. It was things that was God was giving us tonight that I just really didn't even think about, that came out as we went into this lesson today. And I thank God for it. And I say, Lord Jesus, keep doing it like that, Lord. Keep doing it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
you,
God.
Amen.
And Brother Lee and Brother Nate, God bless y'all. We love you. May you have a continued blessed day in the Lord. God bless.
Be prosperous and be blessed.
Behold.